Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Tuesday, July 14th, 2015. I'm here in beautiful Clearwater, Florida, where I think it's going to start having a thunderstorm pretty soon, but I think we should be fine for the show today. We actually have thunderstorms here every day in the summertime. And in fact, I'm not too far away from like the extreme weather capital of, I think it's the United States. We have a lot of thunderstorms and hurricanes sometimes too, but anyway, thunderstorms are very predictable. Today, my guest is Diana Kay. She's been on the show before. She and her husband are co-founders of their USDA certified organic business, Terra Essentials, which means that not only they make personal care products, not only are the ingredients or certified organic, but the business itself and all the making of the product is organic as well. She's been involved in the personal care industry for more than 20 years, and she knows a lot about what's going on behind the scenes. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is not usually discussed about personal care products, and that is GMOs. And so Diana's going to tell us what's going on with GMOs and personal care products. Hi, Diana.
Hey, Deborah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you know what? I think we're going to have a thunderstorm here any minute. So hopefully we won't have, like, some kind of electrical thing going on.
Oh, wait. I hear thunder.
You mentioned you guys have rain every day. It's turning into a tropical rainforest up here in Maryland because we have had so much rain this summer as well.
We have had a lot. But for those of you who don't live on the East Coast or the South, this is the way it is.
This is just the way it is
all over.
I know. I'm laughing about other people not having enough rain, and I'd love to give it to them.
I know.
We just have so much. But it makes the flowers grow. So.
It does. And I love it. But I just always know, this is why I always just wear tank tops and capri pants, because I never know when I'm going to get soaking wet.
Boy, that sounds familiar.
But, I grew up in Northern California and we hardly ever had thunderstorms. And so I just love it. Anyway, this is not a show about thunderstorms. So tell us about, we're going to talk about GMOs and personal care products, but first, would you just explain, because I think this is a really important point, and I'm starting to see more of this, the difference between using organic ingredients versus being certified organic as a company.
Oh, Deborah, thank you for bringing that up, because that is a very serious issue and a concern of mine, and has been for many years.
Yeah.
If you're a business, and this could be for anybody, I don't care what kind of business they are, and maybe right now I'm telling people how to cheat, but you could call a company that is a certified organic producer of, say, cocoa butter or vanilla, and you can say, I'm interested in buying your ingredient. Can you please prove to me that you're certified organic? And that company will fax you a copy of their organic certificate. Voila, you have it. Mm-hmm. You don't ever have to buy the ingredient, but you will have this company's certificate in hand. So it's unfortunate, but we talk about corruption in government a lot, but there is a serious lack of ethics just across the board in the United States for sure, and probably this happens in other industrialized countries as well. And it's very sad because many companies claim that, oh, their ingredients are organic, and they boldly put organic in their company name. They put it on their website. They even put it on their packages in more than one place. But the fact is, who's verifying what these people say? And there are companies that I have seen that claim this, and they are claiming they have organic ingredients that do not exist. And they claim, then that their products are organic, and some people say their products are beyond organic. But here's the fact. If you don't have anybody, an independent authority, verifying that, then you cannot, and I repeat, you simply cannot trust somebody's word. You just can't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's a huge difference. If, for example, we're certified organic, and every year we have to submit what's called an organic plan, and that is And for us, it's a huge, like 4-inch binder. So we have to maintain not only the organic certificates for everything we buy, but we have to maintain or all the invoices, which show the quantities, and then we have to maintain production logs and inventory tracking for every single ingredient. And when they do an audit, which for sure is at least definitely annually, and sometimes they can do surprise audits, where they have to track what you say you made versus what you bought, and they have to match up. And they make us track down to, like, 0.01. you know, it's just, it's tedious. It's consuming. It's highly technical. It takes a lot of effort to maintain this documentation, to submit your organic plan every year, and then go through this inspection. And so that's the difference. When we say organic, we mean it. And our facility, you know, it's not just the ingredients, but your whole building where we have a crafting studio is inspected, and you cannot have chemicals, pesticides on site. They check your cleaning products. They even want to know how you're trapping your insects and mice. You have to maintain, you know, your pest plan, cleaning maintenance schedules. These all have to be in writing, so everything is documented.
Yes, and I just want people to know that there's a difference between what Diana's talking about being a certified company, where she's putting ingredients together to make her products, but her whole facility is certified organic. And so we really need to be looking at that now, when not just looking at the word organic on the label or even asking for the certificate. It's this is the new standard. This is the standard. The facility also needs to be organic. And I say that because if it's not, then there's the opportunity for things that are toxic to get into the product.
For sure.
And we've actually talked about this on another show. But yes, I wanted to bring this up because I have my attention on this right now.
Well, I'm so glad. And the one thing that you mentioned is a certificate isn't good enough, right? So if a company will send you a certificate for ingredients, that's not good enough. You need to have a certificate for the product, their finished product, because you can get an organic certificate anywhere.
Right.
And that means nothing without certification of the actual product.
Yes, yes. And so anyway, let's talk about GMOs, because that's what we're here to talk about today. So I'm just going to let you take the subject and run with it, because I don't even know what to ask you.
Well, that's okay, because it's a pretty complex issue, but on if you're in the biotech world, it is, because there's so many different protocols that are involved. But the thing that's most important for people to know is, in the world of certified organic, under the federal law, GMOs are prohibited from being in certified organic products. So if people are concerned about these genetically modified organisms, your best bet is to go certified organic, USDA certified organic, because it is the one standard in the world that explicitly prohibits GMOs from being included in products that are certified organic. And so we generally, a lot of people today, I think, are familiar with GMOs. A lot of nonprofit groups have been up in arms and fighting some of the big corporations.
Wait, let's not assume that everybody knows what a GMO is, because we hear about it a lot.
Okay.
But you know how sometimes you can hear about something and not know what it is. And then you don't ask anybody and you don't look it up. So we actually are going to need to go to break in a matter of seconds. But when we come back, let's start with what is a GMO and what kinds of things in terms of personal care products, because we hear a lot about GMOs in foods, but we don't hear about GMOs in personal care products. But, of course, they probably would be there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Diana Kay, and she's from TerraSentials, and they're at TerraSentials.com. And we'll be right back. Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Diana Kay from TerraSentials, and we're talking about GMOs in personal care products. Okay, Diana, let's start with, what is a GMO?
That really is an excellent point. thank you for backing me up. So what's called GMO actually stands for a genetically modified organism, or a transgenic organism, which means this, that it's any organism whose genetic material has been altered using genetic engineering techniques. So GMOs are things that are created in a laboratory. And so we have a variety of different types of GMOs. GMOs can happen in just simply a plant that might be used for a fiber. There have been experiments where they have inserted jellyfish genes into different plant materials. They have played with species, like cross species, plants into animals. So the genes from a glowworm into a monkey. We have got all kinds of mad science going on out there. And the thing about GMOs is that they are all synthetically created. They use a variety of different types of chemicals to culture cells, to manipulate them, to alter them, and to create things essentially that have never before existed in nature. So here you have men and women playing creator. And the problem with this that a lot of people agree with, and in terms of people who are more environmentally inclined, is that we're unleashing on the world things that have never existed, that didn't occur or evolve naturally. Mm-hmm. And this really has been going on, believe it or not, for about the past 60 years in small instances, mostly with plants, by doing manipulation of plant cells from one to another to create hybrids, create plants and foods for industry. But it's now expanded beyond just simple hybridizing types of techniques for plants into some rather insidious forms of, of manipulation.
I'm sorry. When something is made from a hybridized plant, is that considered to be a GMO?
If it's performed with GMO techniques, not the centuries-old implantation of pollen grains, if it's done in a lab in a petri dish, and they're using they may mutate something or create a mutation by exposing it to radiation. They may mutate something by exposing it to a very toxic petrochemical. These are not natural techniques. It's not what occurs in nature. Humans in the past would create plant hybrids, and they might dip a feather in pollen from one flower and move that pollen with the feather to the another flower. And
right.
that's how they might have created hybrids in the past, and humans have been doing that for centuries, maybe even thousands of years.
Right.
This is very different in the settings and the way that they are manipulating. They're not just taking those pollen grains. Okay, for example, maybe they're taking pollen, or they may take a plant stem cell. And, you know, we think, ooh, plant stem cell, that sounds like that's, you know, really beneficial. Well, hold on, that's another scary thing. But they will react that material, whether it be a plant stem cell or a pollen grain, and they can react it in any one of hundreds of different ways to alter that genetic material.
But this is very different. I guess I'm just, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to kind of keep it simple, because there's probably a lot we have to talk about here. I think I was asking a question because a lot of times you go to a nursery or something and you want to buy seeds to plant in your garden, and it'll say hybrid this or hybrid that. But that's not the same necessarily as GMO corn.
It very well may be.
Okay, that's the question I'm asking you.
Right. So
if you're talking about, if we're talking about the bigger subject we're discussing here today, mm-hmm. which is keeping GMOs out of personal care products, that GMO might be GMO corn, for example, or but if the ingredient is hybrid lavender, is that a GMO?
There's no way for you to know unless you specifically request in writing, is this a GMO-free material? Isn't that scary? That
yes,
is how it is in our world
so many,
today.
There's so many hybrids. I mean, you can hardly go. I am
Bingo.
Not a prolific gardener, but I'm a gardener enough that I have purchased seeds. And mostly I like to purchase heirloom seeds, and
yes.
I don't purchase hybrids. I want the pure strains. They grow differently. And and even when I lived in California, we had plants. I lived in a valley, actually, where it was kind of enclosed, and we had a lot of gardeners, and we would all pass our plants back and forth to each other because we actually were creating varieties that were suited to our specific area. But we weren't doing it in a lab with toxic chemicals and putting in fish genes and stuff like that. And gardeners have been doing that forever. And that's not what we're talking about. But when I go to the store and I see seeds with big popular brand names on them, it's all hybrids because that's something that they can patent.
Yes.
As opposed to something that a gardener grows in their backyard.
Exactly. And this is happening around the world with giant multinational corporations going to various countries and taking the traditional crops and taking them into their labs, altering these traditional crops that people have owned for thousands of years, that families, indigenous farmers have used. They've saved their seeds. They've passed these seeds and plants down for generations. And what's happening in many countries is the corporations are manipulating this plant material, inserting genetically modified organisms, changing the plant, patenting it, and then excluding farmers from the material that they have owned, that's their birthright. And it's a crisis in this country. And that's been going on for, more than 20 years, and probably some people have heard about that. But now it's moved even beyond that. If it could get worse, it's gotten worse.
We need to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. This is a whole new subject to think about.
It is.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay from Terra Essentials. They're at terraessentials.com, T-E-R-R-E, like Earth, and then E-S-S-E-N-T-I-A-L-S, but there's only one E in the middle, Terra Essentials. We'll be right back. Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay from Terra Essentials. Okay, so now that we've established what a GMO is, did we finish that?
Probably yes.
So now what we're now we let's talk about how you find out if there's GMOs in the personal care products or not.
Well, to reiterate from our previous discussion here today, how do you trust people? And today, if you are a personal care products company, many people would not even ask the question of their supplier if you're a company producing products. If you want to be ignorant or if you just don't know enough, you're not going to ask the right questions about your ingredients. And if you are not certified organic, a company, you're at the mercy of whoever you're buying ingredients from and whatever those ingredients might be. I've seen today there are always trends in the personal care industry, and we don't really follow trends like that. We're more of a traditionally herbal-based organic company. But there are trends, and the latest trends are, sounds really important and exciting, plant stem cell technology. And also, we're hearing a lot about peptides. Well, consumers buy these things, and they'll buy them often from health food stores because they think that these things are better than what's on the market, the wide open marketplace. However, you know, many of the people, again, in the stores that bring these products in, they have no idea. If it says all natural, that's what they bring in. And if it's on the web, people say whatever they want because we don't really have heavy oversight from any government agency over what personal care product companies are saying about their ingredients and their products. Well, I've seen a very, very large interest and movement into personal care products with synthetic GMO ingredients, and also in of course in the food world, but in our world, which is certified organic, a lot of our ingredients they come from the food world, so we buy from food manufacturers. And so if one of the things I wanted to mention, and this is a rather new offshoot of GMOs, is that there actually was a protocol, an agreement, an international agreement signed, the Cartagena Protocol, back almost 10 years ago, where a number of countries got together, and people, I mean, United Nations countries, got together and made agreements about what GMO, what that would mean, and how we would protect, you know, the world, its citizens, from economic harm and environmental harm and personal health. But today we have now a new twist on this. We have something going on called synthetic biology, and my belief is that this is created by a lot of international corporations, and we can talk about that, to get to go under the radar of the Cartagena Protocol. Synthetic, if I can just read this quote from Friends of the
Please
Earth.
Please do, because this is a new term for me, synthetic biology.
And it's really worth becoming educated about. I mean, Deborah, it could also be like a whole other topic for a show, but this is frightening, very frightening. Consumers trust that when products are marketed as natural and sustainable, they will not contain ingredients produced via genetic engineering or synthetic biology. And thus, we already discussed the certification or USDA organic certification. However, listen to this. Synthetic biology, also known in the tech world as SynBio, that's S-Y-N-B-I-O, is an extreme version of genetic engineering. Are you getting goosebumps? Instead of swapping genes from one species to another, as in conventional genetic engineering, and this is Diana adding, as if that wasn't scary enough, synthetic biologists employ a number of new genetic engineering techniques, and I put emphasis on the word new. One of the things that they're doing is this, as using synthetic human-made DNA to create entirely new forms of life or to reprogram existing organisms to produce chemicals that they would not produce naturally.
Why? So this, why? I mean,
here, it's all about money. It's about money. I'm going to give you an example. Okay, of an ingredient, and this has actually crossed our company's path as a certified organic company. Vanilla. Everybody knows about vanilla.
Yeah.
It's my favorite flavor. You know, you could have 49 flavors of ice cream, and I'm going to go for vanilla. I love that flavor.
I love vanilla.
Well, the thing about vanilla is that it's a tropical orchid. It's interdependent upon a forest environment to be able to grow. So you don't really grow it in rows like you do corn. And it's been a plant that has been harvested for a really, really long time, centuries. And it helps in order to cultivate this plant, which is a forest plant. The people have always maintained the forests and kept a great balance there so that you would always have this beautiful vanilla orchid growing, and to be able to sustain a farming community, so they would then sustain the forest, and then the world would have this delicious, wonderful bean, this vanilla bean.
I just think that's so beautiful, just that description of that there needs to be a forest to have a vanilla.
Yes.
Yeah.
There, and that is the, that maybe that adds to the just aroma and the incredible complexity of the vanilla. And it's grown in several countries around the world, but it sustains communities and it protects our tropical forests. But it's also expensive. It's a very, if anyone's seen an orchid, it's a very delicate plant. The production volumes are not high, so it requires a lot of labor and a lot of acreage. So, in other words, we're really maintaining a lot of our forests in order to produce vanilla. It's a really wonderfully compatible, human-compatible crop, in my opinion. However, it's costly to produce, and if you have a problem with thunderstorms, too much rain, not enough drain, it's such a delicate plant that really can dramatically affect your harvests and your commodity futures markets. So giant corporations, they don't like widely fluctuating prices, and they don't like expensive ingredients because for them it's about how can we bring something to market and make the most money and, you know, profits to make our shareholders happy this quarter, next quarter.
Now I'm going to interrupt you right here just because we need to go to break. And then we'll finish your story when we come back, and I can hardly wait to hear what you're going to say.
Okay.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay, and she and her husband are co-founders of their USDA certified organic business, Terra Essentials. When we come back, Diana will tell us more about GMOs and personal care products. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diana Kay from the USDA certified organic business, Terra Essentials. Okay, Diana, tell us more. Finish your story about your vanilla. Hello?
Sorry about that. Vanilla it is. buttons in our technological world. I wanted to talk about vanilla because I think it's something that so many people are familiar with, and it's so wonderful, and it's so safe, and so beautiful. And so one of my problems today, one of my big concerns is that certain companies have taken this incredibly beautiful ingredient, this flavor that so many millions, maybe billions of people love, and they've transformed it using extreme synthetic biology. And the frightening thing is, because synthetic biology is not identified in the Cartagena Protocol, these corporations are flying under the radar of an agreed-upon set of regulations, international regulations. And, for example, the vanilla now, what they are doing is they are, and again, I'm just going to read something so that I think from Friends of the Earth, because it's just so clear. Okay. Synthetic biology vanillin is different from the artificial vanillin already on the market. Of course, natural vanilla comes from the vanilla orchid. For years, we've seen artificial vanilla or vanillin, which is reacted with petroleum chemicals, a completely synthetic source. But today, artificial vanillin is a mix of chemical components. The new synthetic biology vanillin is synthesized by a genetically engineered organism, a GMO yeast engineered using synthetic synbio techniques. So what they are doing is they're using yeasts and bacteria, and they are re-engineering them so that there's no delicate way to put this, but the excrement from the yeasts and the bacteria are producing, and depending upon how they manipulate these bacteria and these yeasts and what they feed them, they are creating flavors that are in foods and are being used in as aromatics and personal care products. And the frightening thing is that these synbio people are really clever. And they don't want to be associated with GMO because, remember, they're flying under the international regulations. So they're calling it synthetic biology. So when they re-engineer these yeasts, they're saying, oh, it's a naturally fermented product. So they're actually now calling this synthetically engineered vanilla natural, and that is frightening. Because, and the industry says, oh, but it's so environmentally friendly because, you know, we don't need soil to grow the plant material. We don't have to depend on rain or use water to irrigate the crop. Completely excluding the fact that they're essentially going to be putting all of these families out of business who have farmed this ingredient. And so let's back up a second. What are they feeding these engineered yeast, these bioengineered yeast and or bacteria? They're feeding them sugar. So there are, and sugar is something that is controlled. So they can clear cut a rainforest to grow sugarcane, use the sugar to feed this yeast and or bacteria to produce what they want. But sugarcane can be cultivated like corn in rows, and you can use machines to harvest and process.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the sugar is not organic. So is it genetically modified sugar that they're using to feed these yeasts and bacteria to produce this SynBio vanilla? And the frightening thing is,
it's not going to say GMO on it.
No. In fact, it is now being called natural vanilla. And the frightening thing is we got a product information sheet and a certificate from a company that sells in the food industry, and we submitted it to our organic certifier, and the certifier's job is to investigate certificates to make sure that they are legitimate, and if there's a question about a product, they communicate with the company because they have confidentiality agreements. So whereas a company would not tell me or you their processing, if they claim to be organic, they're supposed to reveal this information on a confidential basis under the trade secrets guise to anyone from the USDA and or an accredited USDA certifier. Well, here's what we found out. A vanilla being sold as organic under the USDA regs was included as part of that component. When you would expect a vanilla that's organic to be vanilla beans steeped in grain alcohol if it's an extract, because that's your traditional vanilla extract, right?
Right.
Well, this vanilla included this vanillin, a naturally fermented natural vanillin that was spiked with that. An organic ingredient. Is this frightening?
It is frightening. But it just reinforces what I've been saying for a long time, is that we just need to, if you really want to know what's in your stuff, you need to just start with the natural ingredient and make it yourself. I mean, if I, after this story, I'm only buying vanilla beans.
Well, you know, it's very, I hate to bring this up, but the fact is, you know, this is a company, for whatever reason, that chose, you know, to spike their vanilla, and, you know, somebody told them, oh, use this, it's naturally fermented. Well, there are a lot of issues with that, because under the 95 organic rule, if something is organic, that means 95% or more of the ingredients are certified organic, and if there's any percentage, like 5% or less, that material that you add to that organic product must be on the USDA national list of approved substances. And so it gets kind of gray there because why in the world would you be spiking a vanilla with an organic vanilla with a natural vanilla?
Well, maybe they didn't understand what it was.
Well, we'll say that. But the thing is, this is just one ingredient. So, you know, and a certifier caught this, okay? If the product is not certified, who's catching these things? Because they're being sold as natural. And this SynBio, these GMOs, they're doing all kinds of things, all different kinds of ingredients that are being used down, not just in the food world, but in the personal care world. There are a host of things. Sometimes people will be so surprised to find out. You know, but there are companies that are getting behind this because these ingredients, they're cheap. They're inexpensive. You know, they're synthetically created. And, you know, but, and Deborah, you may know this from being aware of so many chemically sensitive people, that And this has been tested. You can expose people to something, a real plant, a real flower aroma, actually put the flower under their nose and let them inhale it, and they'll be okay.
Right.
But you can take that same person, and this is almost like folks who have lost their vision. Their other senses become enhanced.
Right.
When people have been chemically compromised, some of them, their other senses and their sense of smell becomes tremendously enhanced. So a lot of times people can smell, more sensitive individuals can smell the difference.
Yes.
Or taste the difference. But that's not everybody. That's not the whole population. And so when we're concerned about GMOs, now we have something completely different that we're going to have to start focusing on, which is synthetic biology masquerading as natural.
This is just incredible to me. I think there's so much more we could say about this, but we've only got about a minute left.
Oh, no. How does that happen?
I know. So I just don't want, I don't want to cut you off in the middle of a sentence because the show is ending. We've really got a minute and a half is what we have right now. So, this is new and fascinating and informative and something that I need to look into because to have something be synthetic biology certainly isn't natural.
No,
and,
it isn't.
And we need to know this, and we need to know more about it. So, wow.
I can make a suggestion, Deborah. We just tapped into about one-tenth of my material.
Right. I think we need to have another show on this, for sure. Will talk in the interim, and we'll make sure we straighten all this out and get this information out, because this is just...
It's tremendous, isn't it? Just kind of
mind-blowing.
But I think people really need to know about this to protect themselves because these are things that have never, ever existed on this planet before.
And, you know, I just want to throw this in the last 30 seconds, that there's a lot of action now to get GMO labeling.
Mm-hmm.
But if I understand correctly, GMO labeling would not cover this.
No, it's a big issue, and that's why I'm talking to you, Deborah, because we need to get it out there. We need to make everyone aware.
All right, so I'm going to stop you right there. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
You're welcome. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Jad. Be well.